Crossbreed Holster Studios. 10 years on the air and 10 years on target. This is Armed American Radio.
You know, the right to bear arms is because that's the last form of defense against tyranny.
We're making the Second Amendment great again.
I am a very strong supporter of the Second Amendment.
Educating, informing, and entertaining responsibly armed citizens from coast to coast. Here is your host of Armed American Radio, Mark Walters.
Armed American Radio's Monster Cast. Here we are. Another day, another Monster Cast. Gotta love it. So much to talk with you about today. The triage work is just, it's too much. It's overwhelming. There's too much out there to cover. There's not enough time in 3 hours. It's been an overwhelming week. So we're going to focus on just a few topics. John Lott's going to be here. Stephen Gutowski's going to be here. Beth Bauman from Town Hall will be here. We're still working on getting AWR here. Rob Pincus is going to be here. And right now, Alan Gottlieb is going to be here. Before I go to Mr. Alan Gottlieb, let me say this. I've got a huge announcement. If you're a premium member, you know, at armedamericanradio.com, I am welcoming another new partner to the program, and this one is going to be huge. North American Arms, beginning in January, well, beginning tomorrow, really, on the Daily Defense, you're going to begin hearing North American Arms, a longtime partner and dear friend of mine. If you've listened to me over the years, you've seen me work with North American Arms over the years. I am a huge fan of their products, and here's what we're getting ready to do. We're going to have a, and I'm just going to kind of tease this now, but there will be a big announcement coming up, an official announcement, where I'm going to actually give a lucky winner one of my very own North American Arms firearms out of my safe to the winner. And when North American Arms found out, they decided to match it. And that's just the beginning of what we're getting ready to do as we continue to move forward on Armed American Radio. So we welcome Armed American Radio, or we welcome North American Arms to Armed American Radio. You can begin hearing them phase in on the daytime show and this program over the course of the next week. An outstanding company, phenomenal product, second to none. And of course, we welcomed Carr Arms to the program on the Platinum microphone in the GunBroker.com studios. So much cool stuff getting ready to happen. Let's jump right in. I've got him for two segments right now. The great Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. Alan, how the heck are you?
Busy, but good, Mark. Thank you for asking.
Busy is a good thing usually, right?
Well, yeah, it's usually a good thing. It's just that we're covering so many bases in so many different areas right now that there's no time for personal life, I guess I could say. So maybe it's not so good to be so busy, but, you know, defending gun rights is everything I stand for. And so, I mean, it gives me a lot of satisfaction. And you know what really keeps me pumped up and alive in doing this? Things like doing your show or being out at speaking engagements where people come up to me and you know, thank me for everything that I've done. It recharges my batteries, gives me all the energy. So for the next week or so, I'm out there, you know, like an Energizer bunny.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's a hell of a compliment. And I can speak to that because whenever you and I are at different venues, it really is amazing how many people walk up to both of us and talk to, you know, what they heard and comment about you being on the program. I get that response in my emails and I don't have a chance to send you all of them. But I think it's really important. And I appreciate that very much. Alan, I said it was overwhelming. You and I have talked about this before, and each time we've said it, we've said we've never seen it this bad. This week was one of the worst I've ever seen. I'm going to go through some headlines later in the broadcast, but I mean, I could do a 6-hour show and not cover everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's again, you know, we're just attacked from all sides, always, with all kinds of vitriol. The interesting thing, I mean, I'm going to change subject on just a hair. You know, today or yesterday, Michael Bloomberg, who's now running for president, came out to apologize to the minority community. He got it really seriously wrong with some of his things he's done in politics against minorities in New York. I'm waiting for him to apologize for, you know, attacking my gun rights and send an apology to 100 million gun owners for getting it wrong.
You're going to need an oxygen tank because you're going to turn blue before that happens. And it's really sad to say, but it's true that he doesn't care about gun rights. Alan, let's talk briefly about Bloomberg, since you mentioned him. We know him well. He's a known commodity. He's a known quantity. The left, we know what they're running on now. They can't walk it back. You made the comment that we're going to make them eat it when they were talking about confiscation. We've all thanked Beto for finally letting that cat out of the bag. How do you think we're going to approach Bloomberg when he runs? Because he's going to try to run as a moderate.
you're right. He's been trying to run as a moderate, but the one thing he can't be a moderate on is gun control. So in our area, we're not going to have to worry about him trying to moderate because he's not a moderate. We all know it. We know his record. We know that the groups that he funds supports, you know, briefs in court cases saying we have no individual Second Amendment rights. We know he supported ballot measures to ban guns from people. No way, Jose, can he call himself a moderate when it comes to the Second Amendment. He is an attack dog of the Second Amendment. His money has fueled the whole other side, and it's quite frankly donated money to significant Democrats who all have come out for prohibition and confiscation. So come on, he can't get away. We're not going to let him get away with that.
No, I don't think so. And you're going to be at the tip of the spear when it comes to that. And I'm going to say attack of Bloomberg's his attempt to be a moderate. That's going to be critical. Listener, Second Amendment Foundation, SAF.org, if you can join us. Life members, $150. We'll take $5. This is going to be a huge fight. Money's going to be a big issue, and here's why, Alan. You correct me if you think I'm wrong. But the mainstream press is never going to say the things that we're going to say, and they're going to give him a pass every time he opens his mouth, just like we saw on PBS a couple weeks back, or back in September when he did it. So it's going to be up to us to get that word out there in mainstream press. It's going to cost a fortune, isn't it?
Yeah, and one of the reasons it's going to be difficult to get it out is, you know, he owns the Bloomberg News Service himself, and a lot of other media outlets then take stuff from Bloomberg News Service. He attends all the meetings with all the you know, media luminaries, the establishment media. There is no doubt that his influence goes far beyond his own network. He attends all the social functions, cocktail parties, you know, with them. And it's an incestuous business. You know, one day you're working for Bloomberg, the next day you're working for ABC News, and, you know, then you're working for NBC News. He's got his people all over the place and other networks as well. There's no doubt that they're going to, you know, not give Bloomberg a hard time, especially on the Second Amendment gun rights issues, where obviously they oppose our rights as well.
Yeah, it makes programs like this very important. It makes Tom's program, Gun Talk, more important. If you're not listening to everything, whatever podcast you can listen to, you're going to have to really start swallowing some information and getting neck deep in this, because you are not going to get it on the mainstream press. You're just simply not going to get it on those outlets. You will get the truth here. Tom Gresham at Gun Talk will give you the truth. The podcasts out there will give you the truth. But you're really going to have to search for it. Alan, you want to put an exclamation point on that before I move to another topic with you?
Well, yeah, and you know, you mentioned money was really important. Just if you get just attacking Bloomberg, last week I wrote checks to attorneys for our legal cases totaling $87,000 in just 1 week. I mean, the legal bills to defend our gun rights in the courts and knock out some of these, you know, gun control and gun ban laws around the country are not inexpensive. And we have coming up, you know, there's 7 cases, you know, before the U.S. Supreme Court. One they've accepted to hear, and 6 others that we're waiting to see if they're going to take or not. That stuff costs lots of dollars, and if we're not out there doing it, who else is?
Nobody is. How many cases do we have out there across the country right now, not including those 7, or including those 7? How many do we have total?
Including those 7, we're sitting around the 30 area, and unfortunately, I can't afford to add any more to my plate right now. There's 3 or 4 more we'd like to add. But unfortunately, you know, we've got to deal with what's on our plate right now.
For listeners who are unaware, what's the one case the Supreme Court has agreed to hear?
The New York City transport case, where if you own, you know, if you have a permit to own a gun in your own home, you're only allowed to take the gun out of your house to 7 approved gun ranges in New York City. You can't take it any place else. If you want to take it out of Long Island to a gun range, you can't. If you want to go upstate to New York to, you know, go to a competition, you can't. If you have a second home in Florida, you can't even move it to your second home in Florida. And the Supreme Court took that case, and I believe that law is being, you know, totally overturned. And I'm hoping that the decision comes out, gives us some good verbiage on standard of review, which will then apply to a lot of the other cases sitting before the Supreme Court now.
And that case is actually going to be heard, listener, just so you know, on December 2nd, okay, the New York State Pistol and Rifle Association case that we've discussed here. They know it's going to be overturned. I think that's why they panicked. Alan, in the next segment, there are 2 places I want to go with you. And number one, everybody I know wants to hear your opinion on the Remington case and the Supreme Court ruling, not ruling, decision, not decision, said what they said, didn't say what they didn't say type deal. I know we're going to get a lot of questions and emails about that. If I didn't ask you that, I'd be bombarded. So I'm going to hit you with that as soon as we come back from the break. Then I want to move to a press release that the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms put out about the Baltimore mayor, because I'm not seeing a whole lot about that out in, you know, gun media world. And I want to ask you about what happened in Baltimore, because Baltimore is a very violent city and it's a heavily gun-controlled city. So we're going to get that information from Alan Gottlieb when we come back. Let me take this opportunity before I go to the break one more time to welcome North American Arms to the program. You're going to hear them on the program beginning next week. We're thrilled about that. And throughout into 2020, we've got so much fun stuff getting ready to happen for you. Armed American Radio's Monster Cast. We'll be back with the great Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation, right after this. Don't go away. I promise you do not want to miss this next segment.
It's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. I'm Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. When someone says, we don't need that kind of gun, remind them the Founding Fathers determined what rights our Constitution should protect. There's a world of difference between rights and needs. It is not the function of government to tell us what we need or what we don't. Certainly no one needs an assault rifle or a Saturday Night Special, or for that matter, no one needs a Corvette with a high-capacity horsepower engine capable of speeds to 150 miles per hour. But in the hands of honest, responsible individuals, we have the right of choice. We have the right to read books others don't like. We have the right to listen to any radio program we choose. We have the right to dress the way we want to. We also have the right to own firearms of our choice. So the next time someone tells you, you don't need something, tell them it's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. Join the Second Amendment Foundation today so that this message and our Bill of Rights might live. Call 425-454-7012. That's 425-454-7012.
Defender Coffee was created by patriots for patriots. It's coffee for Americans devoted to defending the Second Amendment. It's coffee for Americans who understand that if you don't fight for your freedom, you lose it. That's why Defender Coffee donates 100% of profits to gun rights organizations that fight to defend the Second Amendment. When you drink Defender Coffee, every single cup defends your right to keep and bear arms. Visit DefenderCoffee.com today and join the coffee club while you're there. DefenderCoffee.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today.
The finest safes in the world are made right here in the United States of America. At Vault Pro, made in the USA still means something. Don't be fooled by companies that sell cheap foreign-made safes. Owning a gun is one of our most sacred liberties, and with that liberty comes the responsibility to protect our guns with a secure safe. But we don't stop there. At Vault Pro, we also manufacture the highest quality vault doors, storm shelters, and safe rooms, custom built at your request. We employ high-tech CAD safe and vault door design to protect what's important to you from theft, fire, or weather. When protecting your guns, valuables, and family, invest in the best safes on the market. Vault Pro. Visit online today at vaultprousa.com. That's vaultprousa.com, and check out our entire line from the finest handgun safes to modular safe rooms. Vault Pro has you protected. AAR listeners, you'll never know what you might see at vaultprousa.com. Protect what's important to you with a Vault Pro safe. Vault Pro is a veteran-owned company, strong supporter of Armed American Radio, and the Second Amendment.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a Crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Celebrating 20 years in business, GunBroker.com is the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. With over 1 million auctions daily, you can expect to find a limitless number of top brand names on GunBroker.com. Sellers, you can reach nearly 5 million registered users on GunBroker.com. And buyers, you can buy with confidence knowing GunBroker.com respects your privacy and is the only online marketplace offering buyer's protection. Buy or sell your next firearm on GunBroker.com today.
Oh. to Sebastian Gorka letting you know that the Desperado Sport Fishing Crew in Virginia Beach, Virginia supports Armed American Radio and our right to bear arms. Now, back to Mark Walters.
Armed American Radio's Monster Cast, Round 2, Segment 2 with the great Alan Gottlieb. Welcome back inside the studios with me, these Crossbreed Holster studios with me. Alan, welcome back to the show, my friend. This is a fairly short segment, so I want to jump right in. And I've got a lot of email this week, people asking me your thoughts on the Remington case. Did we lose something? Did they not refuse? Did they just refuse to hear it? Because the left is jumping for joy. Let's give some quick background. The case in Connecticut can now, against the Sandy Hook families, against Remington, the Supreme Court, when they did what they did, allowed that case to move forward. Tell us about what's happening.
Well, Remington appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, a state Supreme Court decision. It was a 4-3 decision saying that the case could move forward. And the media and the anti-gun people, you know, pushing this as a great victory because now the gun manufacturers can be sued and, you know, and we're going to win. I think they're a little running too fast on that. First of all, the 4-3 ruling by the state Supreme Court that the case can move on only allowed one small, narrow part of the case to move on, which the media has ignored. The main thrust of the case has been dismissed, and the court said, no, you couldn't do it. And with the one part of the state Supreme Court is allowing it to move on, they also said in their ruling, you know, that the majority who said it could move on wrote that it would be a monumental task for the plaintiffs to be able to prove that, quote-unquote, they could succeed on their claim in court, but they should have the right to take the claim to court. So even the state Supreme Court, who ruled it could move forward, you know, doesn't think it's going to win at the court level. Well, the U.S. Supreme Court, I mean, let's be honest about it. They have a million cases every year. And right now they have one gun case they're going to hear, six more piled up behind it. I think they decided and figured that, you know, if this case moves forward, the odds are they're going to, you know, Remedy's going to win at the trial court level when a case is actually argued. And in which case, you know, it's over and it's never going to come to us. And if in fact it loses there and Remedy appeals it back to the appeals court, the state Supreme Court, and it holds up, well, then it'll come back to us at a later date, and we can still rectify anything that's done wrong. I don't think the other side has any kind of a victory with this really at all. The sad part is for Remington, it means they have to spend a lot of money and a lot of time on the discovery and trial going through the charge. Now, the one charge that's left standing, it deals with an advertising law that the state of Connecticut has it mostly deals with deceptive advertising, but also goes into inflammatory and advertising, you know, that could incite, et cetera. So they're making the argument that Remington's advertising, you know, for an AR-15 meant that the perpetrator of this crime, you know, he thought the gun was great to go kill people with, and that's why he got the gun and did it. Well, let's be honest about it. The perpetrator didn't buy the gun. He stole it from his mother, and there's no proof, you know, both his mother is dead who he killed, he's dead. There's absolutely no proof that any advertising Remington put out made this perpetrator, you know, use this gun or his mother buy this gun for the purpose of killing somebody. Proving that at trial is going to be rather difficult for the anti-gun groups that are behind the Sandy Hook victims, who our hearts go out to. But this is absolutely a third case. All the other claims that they made were dismissed by the state Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court, choosing not to hear it at this time, you know, may have made the right decision from a legal point of view. It's not great for Remington right now. They have to go through this meat grinder. But on the other hand, the other side didn't really get a win. And the media, of course, doesn't exactly accurately report those.
No, they don't. But what they're trying to do is trying to lend some credence to the anti-gunners claiming this is some kind of victory. Listener, if you were listening to my daytime program, I discussed in great detail last week what Alan talked about just now briefly with what we have. And I want to add just one thing to that, Alan, this is not a Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act case right now. That was already chucked out. That Remington won on those grounds already, which is why it's only the Connecticut statute that's involved relative to the advertising, correct?
Yeah, but one can make a very good argument that the statute runs afoul of the Lawful Commerce Act, and therefore the statute itself can't be applied to Remington. And that's what the case was about on the remaining claim. So, you know, I tend to side with Remington that they shouldn't even have to go to trial on this.
Right.
On the other hand, the Supreme Court, you know, there's a lot on their plate, and they can't get to every little thing. And there's a lot of cases that end up getting heard. This case, again, if it's wrongly decided, it can come back to the U.S. Supreme Court. So it's it's not like the Supreme Court said we're never going to hear this case.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's, listener, there you go. That's the brilliance and the wit and wisdom of Alan Gottlieb. When we talked about that case, we never threw that on there. We didn't quite dig that far, and that makes absolute perfect sense. Alan, let's move in the essence.
Well, Mark, but wait, before you move real quickly,
go right ahead.
I just want to add to this the fact that many cases, the Supreme Court will defer things back down to the lower court, so they won't make a direct ruling, or they'll rule in another case and say, now, if you ruled in this case, we go all the way back to the trial court level, start all over again, based upon what we ruled in this case or with this lawyer in this other area. So these cases sometimes have long lifespans. Some of our cases have gone, 8 years before they get totally resolved because they bounce back and forth between upper courts and lower courts. So this case is very much alive that way.
Is there any hope? I'm guessing that Remington, because I believe, and I'll say this right now publicly, Remington wins this hands down at the state court. They're going to win this hands down. But is there going to be any money coming back to them? Are they going to be able to get anything back?
No, they won't get anything back at all.
Jeez.
And it's not a hands. And let me say, it's not a hands down win. It should be a hands down win, but they're going to have a jury trial. And you get enough anti-gun people on the jury.
That's true.
You don't get justice. However, on the appeals court level, well, then it's another story. Ultimately, Remington is going to win this one way or the other.
All right, good deal. CCRKBA, Citizens Committee, the right to keep and bear arms, to the Baltimore mayor. Honest gun owners aren't killing people either. Responding to Baltimore Mayor Bernard Jack Young's argument that he isn't responsible for the city's rising homicide rate because he's, and I'm quoting now from the press release, not committing the murders. Unbelievable. The Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms today fired right back. Law-abiding gun owners aren't committing murders either. I mean, they set you right up for this one, Alan. Great release.
Yeah, we got some good traction on that because it shows the hypocrisy. Don't blame us. We didn't do it. However, when they passed gun control laws, they blame all of us who didn't commit a crime either. And it just shows the hypocrisy of this and the double standard. And it was really, it was great for us. The mayor definitely just stepped in it big time, and I, quite frankly, one can make an argument. Well, maybe he is responsible with the laws they have and the arrests they don't make and the criminals they leave on the streets and the disarmament of people in Baltimore so they can't defend themselves. Maybe the mayor is, in fact, responsible. So we had some fun with this.
Well, successful gun grabbers, I've said for years, have blood on their hands. Denying the ability of law-abiding people to defend themselves in certain areas, I could easily make, and have for many, many years, make the argument that is responsible for deaths when people are disarmed in these gun-free zones. You had some great quotes on here. Young's hypocrisy and buck passing shouldn't surprise anybody. He has quickly joined the ranks of liberal public officials playing the blame game. Officials who refuse to take responsibility for the mayhem happening on their own watch. Jack Young has been a city official for more than two decades, Alan, and you made it very clear. So you bet he's a part of the problem because Maryland, as you pointed out, has some of the most restrictive gun laws in the nation. And in Baltimore, it's virtually impossible for the average citizen to get a carry permit for personal and family protection. Alan, I'm going to have to leave that one right there. You're right on the money.
Yeah, and you can apply it. While we picked on Mayor of Baltimore in Baltimore, that could apply to Chicago, it could apply to Los Angeles, it could apply to San Francisco, it could apply to Newark, New Jersey. Let's be honest about it. A lot of these cities with these politicians that are anti-gun rights, and have high crime problems and extremely strict gun control laws, maybe they are the problem.
Alan, I'm going to leave our two segments with this. Listener, you show me a city in decay in America, and I'll show you a city controlled by socialists at every level for decades. That's the great Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. Alan, always a pleasure. Look forward to bringing you back next week as long as your schedule permits. I'll be back right after this. We're going to be talking with Stephen Gutowski from the Free Beacon. You don't want to miss it. Back right away. Hi, it's Mark Walters, your host of Armed American Radio. If your company sells only the highest quality products and you're looking for a way to reach these listeners, you're talking to the right guy. Armed American Radio has a package available to fit every budget, from startup to the seasoned advertiser looking for that perfect way to reach this massive audience on roughly 250 stations in the top markets in the nation. We're everywhere, and the show continues to explode across the country after 10 years. Together, we can help you reach a highly engaged and extremely knowledgeable audience. To
to hear your brand on this huge radio program for less than you ever thought possible and to speak directly with me, reach out to CCW Broadcast Media LLC right away at mark@armedamericanradio.org, mark@armedamericanradio.org. And together, we'll bring your brand to Armed American Radio listeners and keep this powerful voice for gun rights on the airwaves. Again, to speak directly to me, reach out to me at mark@armedamericanradio.org. That's mark@armedamericanradio.org.
It's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. I'm Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. When someone says, we don't need that kind of gun, remind them the Founding Fathers determined what rights our Constitution should protect. There's a world of difference between rights and needs. It is not the function of government to tell us what we need or what we don't. Certainly no one needs an assault rifle or a Saturday Night Special, or for that matter, no one needs a Corvette with a high-capacity horsepower engine capable of speeds to 150 miles per hour. But in the hands of honest, responsible individuals, we have the right of choice. We have the right to read books others don't like. We have the right to listen to any radio program we choose. We have the right to dress the way we want to. We also have the right to own firearms of our choice. So the next time someone tells you, you don't need something, tell them it's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. Join the Second Amendment Foundation today so that this message and our Bill of Rights might live. Call 425-454-7012. That's 425-454-7012.
The finest safes in the world are made right here in the United States of America. At Vault Pro, made in the USA still means something. Don't be fooled by companies that sell cheap foreign-made safes. Owning a gun is one of our most sacred liberties, and with that liberty comes the responsibility to protect our guns with a secure safe. But we don't stop there. At Vault Pro, we also manufacture the highest quality vault doors, storm shelters, and safe rooms. Custom built at your request, we employ high-tech CAD safe and vault door design to protect what's important to you from theft, fire, or weather. When protecting your guns, valuables, and family, invest in the best safes on the market. Vault Pro. Visit online today at vaultprousa.com. That's vaultprousa.com. And check out our entire line from the finest handgun safes to modular safe rooms. Vault Pro has you protected. AAR listeners, you'll never know what you might see at vaultprousa.com. Protect what's important to you with a Vault Pro safe. Vault Pro is a veteran-owned company, strong supporter of Armed American Radio, and the Second Amendment.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you. Welcome back inside Armed American Radio's Crossbreed Holster Studios with me for the continuation of the Monster Cast. This segment of Armed American Radio is being proudly sponsored by GetSupply.com. The perfect shave is closer than you think. Believe me, I know. Say hello to the last razor you'll ever buy. I did. I'll explain that in just a second. Welcome back to the show. Armed American Radio's Monster Broadcast in these Crossbreed Holster Studios. You heard me welcome North American Arms in the previous two segments. I'm going to keep mentioning that. That's a lot of fun. North American Arms coming to Armed American Radio, and I teased a little promotional deal that we're going to be doing. I'm actually going to win, and I'll have more details about it on upcoming shows. You can get in the premium content on armedamericanradio.com and get that information first. Premium content subscribers already knew what I'm telling you now, but I'm going to be doing a giveaway where one lucky winner is going to win one of my own, very own North American Arms Mini 22s out of my own safe. And when North American Arms heard me say that, they decided to match it. So that's a lot of fun. That's just a taste of what we're going to be doing over the coming days, weeks, months, and years ahead here on the Armed American Radio Monster Broadcast. And I want to thank all of my sponsors, and I hope you do too, gunbroker.com, Car Arms, and the rest. And if you're drinking Defender coffee and supporting the second, that's huge.
ammoland.com/armedamericanradio. Make sure to check that out. And Personal Defense Network's Rob Pincus is going to be here in the next hour as well. Let's go right now to the phone line. We're going to go to my good friend at the Free Beacon, award-winning journalist Stephen Gutowski. Stephen, we've got two segments with you, so we're going to move kind of quick, but welcome to the show, my friend. You know how the game is played. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I want to start with you with October gun sales jumping 10%. Now, you know that I use a lot of your work and talk about some of the things that you mention and use you for content. Your opinions I think you know how highly I think of you and your writing and the work that you do. I felt good about October's gun sales because I participated in the jump in that number because I purchased a new Kimber Micro 9 in October. The jump in 10%, you tell us, is continuing a recent rise. Americans are buying more guns as Democrats, I call them socialists, propose confiscation. What are we seeing here? What trends are you noticing, and what made you write this?
Well, I mean, I suppose it's probably not surprising for most people to follow, you know, how gun sales tend to fluctuate over the last, you know, several years. You know, politics has a lot to do with it. Sort of the threat of new gun control has a lot to do with driving sales. You know, not everything, of course. The sales had, you know, so sales had gone down a bit after, you know, President Trump was elected and the Republican Congress, and people felt like there was, you know, less likelihood for, you know, major new gun control or new gun bans. And so you saw sales decline to some degree, not back to pre-Obama levels, but it did go down. And now that we see Democrats running the primary, embracing, you know, further left, stricter gun control policies than really ever before, especially, you know, with confiscation, which is unprecedented in the United States, you know, mass confiscation, you've seen the sales are now beginning to rise back up. The third month in a row where we've seen significant increases over the previous year for that month, right? So last October was 10% lower sales than this October. You know, I think that trend is absolutely in large part due to the politics that we're seeing right now.
I don't disagree. In fact, we watched this happen. We saw the fluctuations along with the rhetoric when Obama was president. I mean, let's face it, every gun shop in the country had his photograph up. Guy was the best gun salesman in the world. And even with Beto O'Rourke out of the race and Swalwell, that loudmouth, even with those two socialists out of the race, they've already let the cat out of the bag. Confiscation is what that's their deal. And as Gottlieb has said, and I mentioned it to him in the previous segment, you know, his previous press release that we're going to make him eat it, that was in a conversation that Alan and I just had about Michael Bloomberg. The fact of the matter is that we now know what they want. And as a result of that, as this rhetoric continues to ramp up, we're going to see an increase in sales up and above from that Trump slump that would accommodate or account for anyway the numbers being 10% lower last year, correct? You would consider that the Trump slump. Now we're seeing it ramp up because of the rhetoric.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair to say.
I don't think it's going to go down between now and November of 2020. Do you?
No, not at all. I mean, in fact, it's only likely to increase even further as we get closer to the election.
And you're, of course, looking at numbers coming from NICS, right? Because that's the best source we have. When we see the NICS checks increase, we know that we can make the correlation that sales increase, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, NICS, obviously, we don't have there's no national registry. It's, you know, it's illegal at the federal level to have a national registry, so that we don't have any official stats on exactly how many gun sales there were, but we can tell from looking at the NICS numbers and really looking at that specific subset of the NICS numbers, which is what, you know, the piece is based off of two different reports from the National Shooting Sports Foundation and another analyst group that sort of decoded the NICS checks in order to cut out everything that wasn't a gun sale. And so that's where we get the numbers from, because the raw numbers for NICS include, you know, concealed carry permit checks as well. And some states in recent years have started rechecking all of their permittees. So you get some hugely inflated raw numbers over the numbers that are just associated with sales. So that's how determine the best measure that we have for what gun sales are in the U.S.
But because that's the only one that we have, I mean, we can look at this with some clarity. We can we've got years worth of trends here that bear this out. So we know that while it's not 100% accurate, it's 90% accurate, right? That's where we're going here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can't know for sure exactly what the, you can get a, you know, they give you a specific number. There's like 1.1 million checks that were gun related, but obviously the way NICS works, you know, you can have more than one gun on the same check. You can, some states don't require a NICS check if you have a concealed carry permit when you go to buy a gun. So it's not a perfect measure. And obviously it also doesn't capture used sales on the secondary market in most states. So, you know, the number's not perfect, but it's the best we have. And you're right that it is consistent the way that these, they've done this measurement for over, you know, more than a decade or two at this point for NSSF. So,
so we've got solid data. We've got solid correlation. It's a solid correlation that we can make a pretty estimated, a pretty good, well-educated estimate. All right. For the remainder of this segment, let's go here and probably into the next segment that I have you for to close out the show. But you also live in Virginia, so I want to ask you how you feel about that. But let's start with the Supreme Court declining to stop the Remington suit. You wrote about it. Of course, I just talked with Alan Gottlieb about it, and he gave us some insight at the end of his commentary. And if you go there, I won't be shocked, because it's the brilliance and the wit and wisdom of Stephen Gutowski. But if you don't, I'll get your opinion on what he said at the end of his statement. Supreme Court declining to stop that suit against Remington in potential blow to gun industry. That's your title. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, that's what I would be. I think some people are perhaps overreacting to this a bit. It's obviously not good news, because Remington is the one who requested the Supreme Court to intervene, and the Supreme Court has decided not to intervene for now, at least. And so that's, you know, that's a blow to them. And if the case gets decided on the merits, and, you know, Remington is held liable for, you know, the claim is rather novel. It's pretty, it's a pretty big stretch what they're claiming, which is essentially that the marketing for the Bushmaster rifle somehow influenced the Sandy Hook shooter into picking, you know, that rifle to carry out his attack, even though he didn't buy the gun, and there's no evidence that he or his mother, who actually did buy the gun, ever saw any of this marketing that they're trying to base their case on. But essentially, you know, if Remington loses that case, that could cost them a lot of money, and then open up a new playbook for gun control activists to sue gun makers.
All right. Now, let me stop you there, because I want to go into a little bit more detail, and time is going to catch me right here in just a second. When we come back, we're going to continue the Remington conversation with Stephen Gutowski from the Free Beacon, and then we're going to ask him about Virginia, where he lives. Back right after this. Don't go away.
Celebrating 20 years in business, GunBroker.com is the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. With over 1 million auctions daily, you can expect to find a limitless number of top brand names on GunBroker.com. Sellers, you can reach nearly 5 million registered users on GunBroker.com. And buyers, you can buy with confidence knowing GunBroker.com respects your privacy and is the only online marketplace offering buyer's protection. Buy or sell your next firearm on GunBroker.com today.
It's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. I'm Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. When someone says, we don't need that kind of gun, remind them the Founding Fathers determined what rights our Constitution should protect. There's a world of difference between rights and needs. It is not the function of government to tell us what we need or what we don't. Certainly no one needs an assault rifle or a Saturday Night Special, or for that matter, no one needs a Corvette with a high-capacity horsepower engine capable of speeds to 150 miles per hour. But in the hands of honest, responsible individuals, we have the right of choice. We have the right to read books others don't like. We have the right to listen to any radio program we choose. We have the right to dress the way we want to. We also have the right to own firearms of our choice. So the next time someone tells you, you don't need something, tell them it's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. Join the Second Amendment Foundation today so that this message and our Bill of Rights might live. Call 425-454-7012. That's 425-454-7012.
Emerson Knives is the first company completely dedicated to producing knives for self-defense, law enforcement, and military applications. The Emerson CQC-7 is the most influential tactical folder of all time. Carried in places not found on any roadmap, the CQC-7 should be carried whether you're at a movie with your family or kicking in doors in Iraq. The CQC-7 is on duty with the select few who have known the chaos of conflict. For your own CQC-7, visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
We've all put ourselves in a potentially unsafe situation. Whether it's commuting at an odd hour, parking the car in that badly lit garage, or taking that nighttime run. So let's be real. We're not going to stop doing any of those things. The Taser Pulse Plus is here to help you approach every day with confidence and give you that backup if you ever need it. With an effective safety distance of up to 15 feet, delivering a 30-second cycle of muscular incapacitation, the Pulse Plus now has even more advanced safety features. It connects to the mobile safety app Noonlight to dispatch emergency services as soon as the Pulse Plus is triggered. No fumbling for the phone, no freezing up in fear. Pull the trigger and help is on the way. Protect yourself and your family with a leading brand in less lethal self-defense technology, Taser Self-Defense. Visit buy.taser.com and use the code AAR for 10% off the purchase of a consumer Taser device. That's buy.taser.com with the code AAR for 10% off.
You've helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today, and now Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, wants to give back to you, my listeners. You can get deep discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the new radio listener specials. Mike heard me talk about his pillows on air and joined us on Armed American Radio. I'm getting a much better night's sleep, and you can get deep discounts on MyPillows, mattresses, toppers, bed sheets, and so much more. For example, right now they're bringing back the buy one, get one offer for the MyPillows. That's right. Buy one MyPillow, get another one absolutely free. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the buy one, get one free for the MyPillows. Enter promo code AAR or call 800-978-9358 for these great radio specials.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Hi, it's Mike Gallagher wanting to let you know that the crew of the Desperado Sport Fish in Virginia Beach, Virginia supports Armed American Radio and the Second Amendment, and I'm right there with them. Now back to Mark Walters.
Back to back, Alan Gottlieb, Stephen Gutowski. I've got John Lott coming up next. I've got Rob Pincus coming up. AWR is not going to be able to make it, I just found out, but that's okay. I'm going to cover some of his work in one segment. Then you've got me and Beth Bauman. It's just a huge program, so I hope you're enjoying it. Right now, much, much more to come. Let's go right back to Stephen Gutowski from the Free Beacon. Stephen, let's wrap up Remington because I want to have a conversation with you about Virginia. I have a lot of deep roots in Virginia, family in Virginia, graduated college there, got my first job out of college there. I mean, I've lived in many areas of the state, including Richmond and Virginia Beach. I have a lot of friends there. But before we do that, let's go first to close out Remington. Let's put a final stamp on this. You don't think this is over. I don't think this is over. Gottlieb didn't think this is over. How do you want to close out the Remington conversation?
No, I mean, it's certainly not over. Like I said, the case, the actual merits of the case are pretty out there as far as, you know, what a jury would agree with. What happened this week was just the very first part. Essentially, Remington for the last 5 years that this case has been going on has just been trying to get it dismissed right off the bat because they think it violates, the Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act.
Right.
And so that's what this was about. Just like whether or not you could even hear this case is what was decided by, you know, a 4-3 vote on the Connecticut Supreme Court. And then the U.S. Supreme Court decided not to intervene at this point. And that could be because they want to see where things go with the actual case before they try to get involved, because they can get involved later down the line. If Remington doesn't win the case, or they can always appeal again on the merits to the Supreme Court, and that's what the justices are waiting for. We don't know, because the Supreme Court doesn't put out their reasoning for why they don't take cases. They just take a case or they don't take a case. So the point is, there's still plenty to go with this case. It'll probably take years and years from here out to get to a final conclusion.
And it's unfortunately, it's going to cost Remington a ton of money to do it. But you did just pretty much throw on there what Alan said, and that is the reminder that the case is not over. That went by me. I admit that. I didn't even think about that when I was discussing it in great detail on the program on Friday and earlier in the week as well. That went right by me, that Remington, if they lose this case, if they do lose at the trial court level in Connecticut in the state court, that they're just going to reappeal. And I think, as Alan said, and as you just mentioned, and as someone in your piece mentions as well, that Remington can come right back to the Supreme Court. No doubt the Supreme Court is aware of that and probably felt, we're just not going to get involved now. We might see this again later. All right, Virginia. Wow, boy, you know, I hate seeing what's getting ready to happen in the state of Virginia. You live there. And as much as I hate to tell you this, you're about ready to get gun controlled. Blackface Northam is going to get everything he wants from that state legislature. You're not going to see a Democrat walk away from the party platform, particularly in what is a presidential election year. It's going to happen. How do you feel about it?
Well, I'm not that pessimistic, to be honest with you.
Tell me why.
Most certainly will be new gun control in Virginia. At the very least, you'll get universal background checks and red flag laws of some sort, for sure. Now, the more extreme versions of the more extreme things that Northam wants, like his assault weapons ban, which had a confiscation element to it, when made possession of certain guns illegal if they have certain magazines. It's pretty convoluted and very specific to Virginia, but I think the more radical stuff, it's going to be much harder for them to get across because they only have a one vote majority in the Senate of Virginia. So, depending on how hard people push against these proposals, especially in Democratic swing districts, I don't know that it's a guarantee. Even Northam himself had already sort of not, he talked to the Washington Post and was less gung-ho, I suppose, about assault weapons confiscation than he had been before the election. So not that it is impossible. It's obviously extremely possible for them to pass because they only need Democratic votes. But we'll see what they do once they actually get back into the state house.
I don't think they're going to do confiscation, but I can see some form of ban passing in Virginia. What concerns me, and this will be fun to watch how this plays out, the reason I can see some form of ban coming into play in Virginia is because it's an election year, and because even in some of those swing districts, the arrogance that I saw coming from the Democrats after the victory, you know, let's face it, if you look at an electoral map of Virginia, the state's bright red, except the heartbeat over there by Virginia, by Richmond and Petersburg, everything surrounding D.C., and down by Norfolk and Newport News in that area, the rest of the state is bright red. And some of those districts where those Democrats, I don't think right now they're going to care about that in an election year, because on the federal level, as the party platform is concerned, they're all in agreement with everything that Northam wants to do. So, man, I'm glad you're optimistic. I really truly am. I hope to God you're right. I hope I'm wrong.
I'm not super optimistic, obviously. I think people, especially in Virginia, if you're a gun rights supporter, I wouldn't just give up. You know what I mean?
No. You can't do
you
that.
You can stop. I think it is entirely possible that an assault weapons ban could be stopped in Virginia. I mean, look at the Democrats in the House of Representatives at the national level. They couldn't pass an assault weapons ban. They passed some other things.
That is true.
They haven't actually passed the assault weapons ban because I don't think they think they could actually get it passed, or they don't want to. They don't want to force some of their swing district members at the national level to have to take that vote.
There's a lot of truth to that. I mean, that is in fact true that they were unable to get that through. So maybe that's a little shining star for the state of Virginia. Here's the worst part of Virginia. We're watching the birth of New Jersey-style gun control. And here's the reason I say that. because Virginia has flipped in our lifetime. We've seen it flip from red to blue. Everything they couldn't do, they now at least want to do and have the ability to do. So we're going to see a formerly conservative state when it comes to gun control now begin to put this in place. Virginia becomes the petri dish. The rest of the country gets to watch the birth of this in the state of Virginia. It's always been like that in New Jersey. It's just how bad is it going to be? California, New York, Illinois. But we're going to sit back and the rest of the country is going to watch the birth of gun control and be able to see firsthand this is what they want to do on a federal level. We're going to be able to see that. Agreed?
Yeah. I mean, we'll see what happens.
Oh, man. Stephen, I feel sorry for you, man. What do you, let me ask you, we don't have much time, unfortunately. We've only got about 50 seconds, but I'll ask you, is it going to, I know the answer to this question. How personal are you going to take it when you see this stuff move through the legislative process, knowing what one or my two might get passed?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm a reporter, so I do my best not to get too personally involved, but certainly it has a personal effect on me. And living here, so obviously I don't want my rights diminished. That and so by covering it, I can help people understand what's going on, and perhaps you know, they can decide whether or not they will lobby their elected representatives against it.
And nobody can do it better than you, Stephen Gutowski from the Washington Free Beacon. Stephen, thanks for being here. I do appreciate it, as you know, and we'll talk soon, bringing you back to the program in the very near future. In the next hour coming up, Dr. John Lott is going to be here. Don't forget, Rob Pincus is going to be here. Oh, got another great hour lined up for you. Don't go away. We'll be back after the top of the hour break.
You've just filled your prescription for freedom on Armed American Radio with Mark Walters, the loudest voice in America fighting for gun rights.